Across the Park podcast is proud to be sponsored by Globe Gas and Heating. For the best kitchen and bathroom renovations, boiler servicing and repair, and central and underfloor heating in the Northwest, head over to globecentralheating.com and quote Across the Park for a free quote.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Across the Park podcast. It is our opposition preview. Delighted to be joined this evening, which will be this morning when this is released, by Russ from Cottage Talk. Russ, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on.
Thank you very much for being on. And any of our viewers or regular listeners, remember Russ joined us at the start of the season before our home game, first game of the season against Fulham. Unfortunately, we were on the wrong end of a defeat on that day. Hopefully you can turn things around tonight as you're listening to it Tuesday night. So Russ, as you know the drill from the previous podcast, we try and get an insight into the opposition. You are obviously managed by one of our former managers, Marco Silva. We know quite a bit about him. You've took one of our players more recently, Alex Iwobi. So we'll maybe try and find a little bit about how Alex has settled in. Yep. And then talk to you a little bit about, you know, your progress, if that's the right word, this season. So I'll allow you first, Russ. How's this season been so far since the victory at Goodison?
Well, it's been up and down. Let's just call it what it is. It really was rocked this summer by Alexander Mitrovic going to Saudi Arabia. Everything changed at that point. And call me naive, but I didn't think he was actually going to go. I thought that they wouldn't allow him to go.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
But he ends up going. And it basically just threw this whole monkey wrench into the season. So what really upset me and has really affected the entire season was the lack of spending coming off of the Mitrovic money. Now, you could say they used the Mitrovic money partially to get Alex Iwobi and to bring in some other players. But if you're telling me their plan was Raul Jimenez to be the replacement for Mitrovic, that is not good enough. I actually really like Raul Jimenez. I'm rooting for him. I think Raul Jimenez is doing a nice job. But if you're getting rid of a Premier League striker like Mitrovic, you need to be bringing in someone of that level. And they simply did not. Not, like I said, nothing against who they have. But he was not brought in at 26 years old in the prime of his career. He's 32 years old, and you're asking a lot. So what ended up happening was they really have struggled to play without Mitrovic because they only knew how to play with him. So it took a long time to learn how to play with Raul Jimenez. And then on top of it, they were rotating other strikers in, but they were trying to play the same way. And to Marco's credit, he finally changed things up. And I think he really intended to change it, but the players had to finally all get on the same page. And it took a long time. That's why you ended up seeing these 5-0 back-to-back victories from Fulham. It was basically the culmination of them finally figuring it out. And that's what was so great, is that we saw them probably at their best against Nottingham Forest and against West Ham. And you're thinking, well, if they can do this, let's build on that. And then they go and they play Newcastle United. Raul Jimenez gets sent off with a red card, and he's out for 3 matches. And Willian gets hurt, and they're not the same team. The one thing that I've learned is that when Fulham are at their optimal starting 11, they can play with anyone. They can absolutely play with anyone.
You showed that at Anfield, didn't you? More recently, that was a really impressive performance at Anfield. And twice, to be fair. I think the first half in the cup game, but for most of the game in the league game, you literally went toe to toe with Liverpool. And you're unfortunate. You're on the back end of 4 outstanding goals and quite extraordinary goals on that day.
Right, and when you look at all that, and like I said, when you have all that going on, and then Jimenez comes back, and then they pull off this great victory against Arsenal. It's been this up and down roller coaster ride. But then Fulham lose two key players to the African Cup of Nations, and one of them is Alex Iwobi. And I'll argue that one of the reasons why you are seeing the dip of form in Andres Pereira and someone like Raul Jimenez is Iwobi's not there. The three of them work very well together. So when you take one piece out, it's just not going to be the same. And I think that has been the problem with Fulham this season. If you give them their best starting 11, they're great. If you take a piece out, something else is going to happen. They're just not going to be at their best. And I think that's what you see. But they're under Silva, they battle and they battle. And I'm going to say it right now. I thought he has matched Klopp every single time we played Liverpool. That's the disappointing part. Do you know we've only lost at Anfield in three matches, Klopp versus Silva by a single goal. By a single goal. And then at Craven Cottage, two draws. So that speaks volumes to Marco is building. But like I said, right now, Fulham are just going up and down. We had a tremendous victory, like I mentioned, against Arsenal. But then you have the unfortunate back-to-back cup losses. And the one against Liverpool, it really hurt. It really did hurt. It did. But, you know, what are you going to do?
That was sometimes a criticism of Marco Silva when he was at Everton. And it's interesting because I'm going to speak about the stats, if you like, of your home results. Is that he was never able, and maybe the word able isn't the right one, but he was never willing to settle for a draw. Now, I know that's admirable at times as a fan. You're like, you know, you love to see your teams go for it. But, you know, when you look back over the course of the season, you're thinking, well, if we'd have picked up a point there, they start to accumulate. And I think it has an impact, as you've seen, on the morale of the team. You know, if you start to get back-to-back defeats, which can sometimes happen in any season, you know, there's a lot to be said sometimes for just picking up a point and starting to get yourself back on track again.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, but you also understand Marco Silva. He's still the same manager. He does not play for a draw. He will not play for a draw. So his mentality is basically, I always say, play with no fear. This is how he does it. He is going to go at it. He is full force. His team plays like that. But to his credit, the matches tend to be fairly close, but there aren't that many draws in there. And a part of that is his mentality and his players buy into it. You know, maybe, like you said, maybe there's an opportunity to get a draw, but that's not what he's interested in.
That's completely fair. I mean, I was just going to touch on a staff of both teams. I mean, our away form this season has been particularly good, but we've only drew one of our 10 away games, winning five of those as well. You've not drawn any at home. You've won six, lost four. So, I mean, we're going to come on to predictions later on. It's got a draw written all over it then, hasn't it?
Could be.
No. I was looking at the table before and we're having a lot of these conversations when we do the opposition podcast because it's easy to look at the table and think, well, you know, Everton are down there. Without our 10-point deduction, we'd be 3 points ahead of you. So it's interesting when you look at it like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I was just speaking to someone about this, that what has bothered me, and I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face, I know some Evertonians, I'm good friends with an Evertonian, and I say this to him all the time, you do not deserve to be where you are. This is unjust. I don't know enough about the situation to really talk in detail about what the reason why you got the 10-point deduction, why you could get another infraction coming your way, whatever that is. It infuriates me that it has happened to Everton, where I look at Man City, where I look at Chelsea, and I'm thinking, how is that possible? Now, I understand Nottingham Forest deserves it. Let's call it is. But I don't see... The only thing I know, and maybe you can fill me in a little bit more, is this has something to do with building the new stadium, and I don't understand why that has something to do with why they're getting this 10-point deduction. It doesn't make sense to me. And I just don't, I think it's unjust and unfair. Everton don't deserve to be where they are. And I do hope the three teams that are there right now, the three promoted teams, go down. That's what it should be in my mind. It should not be Everton.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, I appreciate that. And just to give you the kind of the simplistic version of it, the club have admitted that we've, you know, we've been over that threshold over a three-year period. There's no two ways about that. But what you were referring to there is some of the mitigating circumstances of why we've been over it. One of the reasons, one of the key reasons is that we lost two key sponsors after the war broke out in Ukraine. Not only did we lose those sponsors, the sponsorship was suspended, meaning that we couldn't replace them. So we had an 18-month period that we had hardly any commercial income coming in from us via sponsorships because we couldn't replace the sponsor, yet we couldn't earn from the sponsor. The second one, or key mitigating circumstances, a player that Everton referred to as Player X. You can use your imagination for that, yep, for that player. He was a player who was suspended by the club whilst he was under investigation. We were not able to sell the player. We were not able to play the player, yet we were still required to pay him for a period of time. We lost a significant amount of not only income, but also, you know, we were spending a lot of money on still paying that player. Another mitigating circumstance. Now, the Premier League ignored that and decided, as you know, to throw the book at us, so to speak. And, you know, as you say, whilst ignoring some of the bigger culprits, what they've gone for, the Premier League, in the face of, you know, a potential independent commission being threatened to them by the government to say they're going to come in, they're going to take over your management of finances in the Premier League. In the face of that, they thought, let's try and go for someone here and prove that we're capable of taking care of our own affairs. They've looked for the low-hanging fruit, yeah, and we were the low-hanging fruit. We were the ones who come to them and said, we're guilty. You know, we're not saying we're not, but we'd like, you know, we'd like to be honest and transparent. The Premier League have been far from honest and transparent in this whole situation. They haven't told us what formula has been applied to decide how we were punished 10 points. Nobody knows why it was 10 points and not six and not seven. It's absolutely ludicrous. But yeah, in the context of this podcast, again, yep, I appreciate your support. And there's a lot of pressure on the Premier League at the moment to actually face up to, you know, the questions that are being posed to them by not only Everton fans and not only the club, but, you know, big sections of Parliament actually asking these questions now that they've got to address.
And I understand that. And listen, it should be that way. This should not be just take it. You know, we're going to take it. You know, Everton, just take it. They should fight it. And it sounds like that's what they're doing. I've been reading all the statements. And that's what they should do. And I look at the supporters. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve, like you said, they were being transparent about it. There should be some kind of leniency for being transparent. They really should.
You think so? There normally is, and it's things like that in a normal course of law, any course of law in the world, by the way, not just in this country. There's normally some level of leniency for somebody who's holding their hands up and saying, "Look, I'm guilty."
Say, "Hey,
I'll accept."
We did this.
No, and we don't believe, again, and this is the general consensus, we don't believe there's no punishment due. And, you know, I think we'd have took a punch deduction on the chin, but 10, it just seems, you know, way over the top, extremely severe.
I agree.
You know, we are where we are anyway. But look, back to football matters.
Yep.
Back to stuff on the pitch. You spoke about the loss of Mitrovic. You spoke about, yep, I just want to ask a little bit more about Alex Iwobi, because you alluded to him obviously being away with the African Cup of Nations, which is a blow for you.
Yeah.
I mean, he divided opinion. I would say at Everton, a player obviously who come with bags of ability, was capable of pulling a rabbit out of a hat at times, and then at times was, you know, flattered to deceive. What I would say, and you've kind of got the benefits of this, just before he left, and certainly in the year before he left, he found himself a role more in that number 10 central area and away from the wide areas. Is that the Iwobi that you've seen, or has he been back out wide? Has he been operating a bit more centrally?
Well, here's an interesting thing. There's been the argument of where is the best place to play Alex Iwobi. Number 10 sounds the right place. And in fact, there are Fulham supporters that would want him instead of Andres Pereira. However, I will tell you, he has been phenomenal on the right. He's been phenomenal on the right. And this partnership with him, Jimenez, and, you know, it's just, and then Pereira, it's literally a triangle between the three of them. And it's just been wonderful. So for me, believe it or not, because I heard all of the stuff that he was best in the number 10 role with Everton. Should he be the number in the number 10 role? I actually think he is more dangerous for Fulham out wide. His motor just doesn't stop. Yeah. And he is just always moving. The only criticism I will give him, and you'll probably agree with me on this, is that he's not the best shooter in the world. He's not the, you know, he does struggle at times. But I'm here to tell you, Beast, I would say the three best Fulham players right now would be Paulinho, Leno, and of course Alex Iwobi. And they, I'm telling you, they miss Iwobi right now. They feel it. I knew it was going to happen. And do they have players that can play the roles? Yes, but he has this real, just this different ability to really link up with his teammates that I don't think the players that are replacing him or have replaced him have that ability that he does. I think he's a special player. I understand why Everton wanted him. I've heard all of the talk of why Arsenal let him go, but I'm just glad that he's with us. I'll just say, I know he divided opinion with Everton, but I got to tell you, with Fulham, he's been phenomenal.
Well, listen, there's no question. We didn't want him to leave. The manager didn't want him to leave. It was a case of, the money was offered. He was a player going into the last 18 months of his contract, and I think we had to take it. We were in a position to turn it down. He was absolutely walking to our team at the moment. There's no question about that. Just another player I want to ask you about is someone who's got Everton roots and someone that, when I've watched them for years this season, I've been really impressed by Anthony Robinson. A player who seems to be growing year in, year out for me and almost game by game.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my situation with Jedi, Anthony Robinson. So I've been hard on him over the past couple of years, even this year too. Every time I'm hard on him, he has played phenomenal. He's played great. Every time I praise him, he plays like crap. So I've now decided that I'm just going to just be on top of him the rest of the season. And we're going to continue to get these phenomenal performances. The one thing about Jedi is that I will give him credit that he has improved his crossing because that was lacking big time. He's improved it. He's always had the pace. But I think key for him has been his partnership with Willian. When he plays with Willian, when it's the two of them, very dangerous. And they know each other's moves very well now. So that's where Fulham are at their most dangerous is when those two players are, when they get the ball wide to those two players, look out. That's when things happen. So Fulham are left-handed heavy because they are trying to get Jedi involved and Willian involved as much as possible. And Jedi, you know, there is talk that Jedi could be moving on at the end of the season. It's possible to a bigger side, and I would wish him the best of luck. I still need to see more consistency out of him so I don't come back to your show and say, I praised him and he played like crap again. So, but
fair enough. Yeah, no, that's fine. Enough said. So there's still a degree of inconsistency around Anthony Robinson. But again, for me, as you're pointing out, he's certainly got ability, hasn't he? Got ability.
He definitely does.
So, getting on to the game itself, obviously, as anyone's watching it now, it'll be Tuesday morning, so it's tonight as we look forward to it now. Can you give us a feel as to what you'd expect the 11 to be? Obviously, you know, Iwobi's out. You mentioned William was maybe not available. He came on, didn't he?
William will be, but it was actually Harry Wilson that's out for this match.
Yeah. Okay. So go on, give us your what you'd expect in terms of the 11 and
sure.
how...
Sure. So this is what I'm expecting. And I actually got the Liverpool starting 11 right when they played Liverpool. So let's see if I'm right again. But I think it's definitely going to be Leno. The question will be at right back. Will it be Castagna or Tete? I'll say Castagna. It's going to be Robinson. The center back pairing is interesting. It should be Tosin and Diop, especially against your side, that can deal with balls in the box. You need big guys, and I would expect it to be those two. But I know the manager loves Tim Ream. He might decide to go with Tim Ream instead of Diop. We'll see. But I'm going to go with Diop and Tosin. Then in the middle, what?
Go on, I was going to say, were they though the two the stars, the Goodison at the start of the season? Tim Ream wasn't available, was he, at the start of the season?
I don't even remember, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that those two, and they were impressive at Goodison, to be fair. Yeah. They dealt with everything.
It's a good matchup for them. The way that they play, it actually suits them. When they go up against teams like, say, a Liverpool or teams that
are more dynamic,
they are open for that mistake. I will say that. Against you guys, it's a little bit playing more to their strengths. So,
yeah, fair enough.
That's what I think will be the starting pair of center backs. In the middle, I think this is really the real strength of Fulham. The danger comes out wide, but the strength of Fulham is really Paulinho. I'm going to say he's going to go with Kearney because he can create. And then I know he just loves Andres Pereira for whatever reason. So he's going to stick with Andres Pereira. On the left, it'll be William. On the right, it'll be Bobby Decker-Dovereen. And it'll be Raul Jimenez up front. I think I'll end up being right. The only caveat might be Tete instead of Castagna.
Fair enough. I mean, we're missing a few players. And it's a tough one, this, because I was speaking on our podcast today about it. I remember from Marco Silva's days when he was at Everton that he can go through, and you'll understand where I'm coming from here, he can go through purple patches, and equally when he tends to lose, you tend to lose three or four and then he'll get back to it again. Never seems to be win-loss. It's normally like in chunks. And I'm hoping, it's been a disappointing week for you, hasn't it? Obviously going to both cups. And I'm hoping that there's a little bit of a hangover. I know you just put a lot in that second leg at Craven Cottage. I watched the game at the weekend and he did look a little bit leggy to me. So I'm hoping we can catch you slightly cold in that sense. We are missing some key players at the moment, as though. Seamus Coleman will still be out right back, despite the fact he's now 47. He's still a very good right back.
Crazy.
Abdoulaye Doucouré is a huge miss for us.
I think that's a big miss. I would agree with that. That's a big
miss. I'm fairly certain I'm right in this. We've only won one game since Sean Dyche took charge without Abdoulaye Doucouré. So, we've got a remarkably poor record when Doucouré's not in the team. Dominic Calvert-Lewin obviously isn't firing. It's going to be a difficult one for us. And I think that the area in particular that as you alluded to, that we'll have problems against you will be down your left-hand side. I expect him to go with a back three against you as three centre back. So there could be a lot of potential to overload us on that side if we do play with a back three. So it'll be interesting. I mean, we went with two up front on Saturday. I don't know if you've seen that. We played for the first time with Calvert-Lewin and Beto, and we were dreadful, absolutely dreadful. And the manager, admitted that's probably not going to be repeated. And therefore, because of the lack of midfielders, we'll probably play three at the back. So there's an interesting tactical battle that might go on there as well.
Yeah, that's interesting because Fulham have, for a while under Silva, struggled with teams that play three at the back, but they have recently figured it out a little bit. So it'll be interesting. I enjoy the chess matches. I enjoy this. And Marco is, we call him the genius, man. I mean, I'm sure Everton supporters don't agree with that, but
listen.
We see him as a genius, man. We do.
No, listen. When we had the podcast at the start of the season, I said, "Bruce, I had a lot of time for Marco Silva as a coach, and I know I'm a coach myself, and I found it interesting the way he approached it. I admired the fact that he went out on a sword in the end. He wasn't going out trying to get nil nils, as you say. Still trying to go out trying to beat teams regardless of who we were up against. So I've got a lot of time for that. And I was convinced that Marco Silva would go on and do a very good job elsewhere. And so he seems to be doing so at Fulham.
Yeah, absolutely. We're fortunate to have him. We all know it. And we were just waiting for him to sign his new deal. He signed his new deal. So that was a huge relief. And I think that also affected the team because then they started winning matches. I think Marco not signing that contract really affected Fulham this season. For the first part of the season, he signs the deal and then everything changed. And I don't think that's an accident.
No, I wouldn't think so either. So anyway, Russ, on to predictions. Okay. Ask for a prediction from you.
Okay.
Over to you.
All right. So listen, I have a lot of respect for Everton. I think this is a difficult match for both sides, but I think Fulham, again, with their starting 11, even with the injuries, even with Iwobi and Bassey being at the African Cup of Nations, I still like Fulham at home. They are difficult to beat at home. So I'm going for a nervy 2-1 to Fulham with Raul Jimenez getting a brace. That's my prediction.
Ooh. I'm gonna exactly oppose you with the same scoreline. I said it on our podcast today. I do fancy us. I don't know why. There's no logic to it other than the fact that, as I said, I feel like we can come into the game with a lot of energy. I think we can come into the game with energy. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is due a goal. Okay. I fancy him to get a brace.
Okay.
And I think Jimenez may get on the score sheet for yourselves, but I fancy a brace from Calvert-Lewin. So look, I think I kicked it off by saying that, you know, there's only been one draw in your combined home games and our away games this season. Let's hope it's not a draw.
I don't want a draw.
I'm right. You're right. And Marco doesn't want a draw either, so we'll take the 2-1.
Okay.
No, well, listen, Russ, great to catch up with you again, mate. Really, really, really enjoy your chats. And best of luck for the rest of the season. I'm hoping, I'm positive that we'll be having these chats again next season and that we don't fall foul to another 10-point deduction.
I just want to say best of luck to you, to all the Everton supporters the rest of the season and beyond that. And I truly believe we'll be having these discussions next season back in the Premier League. And this will be just a nightmare of a season that you can now move on. And my hope is that you get to the point with your new stadium, everything's going in the right direction, the right investment, that you can fully contend against that team in red. Because I'm no fan of theirs, and I would like to see Everton rule the city of Liverpool. Because it's funny. I know the ownership very well because they own the Boston Red Sox, who are my local baseball team here. And I've never been a fan of theirs. People have always asked me, you know, pick a side. Is it Everton or Liverpool? And I said, well, I always go for the underdog anyways. It's always been Everton. You know, it's always been that way. And, you know, I know a lot of Liverpool supporters, and I have respect for them. I just think that they're extremely arrogant in general. That fan base is arrogant. And you guys are like us in some way. You know, you've had better years than us, but I just see it in a similar way. I see the supporters in a similar way. People think that Fulham supporters are, you know, not passionate or just very, you know, just with this nice family club. We are this nice family club. We are that. However, we're very passionate about the team. We are. And, we care deeply, just like Evertonians do. So I see that connection. I remember back in 2007 when Fulham were knocking on the door with Aston Villa and Everton, and it was Everton that were closest to the top teams. And I wanted you to break through. It never quite happened to a top four, but I wanted that. And maybe someday that will happen for Everton.
I sincerely hope so, Russ. I'll drink to that anyway, and really appreciate the kind words again. And as I say to all the fans, please check out Cottage Talk. They're a top Fulham podcast. Russ puts up some superb content. And again, if you don't catch them on their channel, you'll certainly catch them on ours next season. And Russ, thanks again for your time. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and we'll speak soon.
Let's speak soon, my friend.
Take care, mate. Bye.
Take care.